This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Ed Morse is going to save you. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is South Florida High School Sports.com Radio on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and streaming at WQAM.com.
We're back for hour number two up until 10 o'clock. Larry Bluestein with you. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Big hour to come with you at about 9:45 or so. Coach Steve Englehart from Florida Tech talked to us last couple years about the program and how they're doing. And again, recruiting very well in South Florida. Andrew Ivins, epicenter, University of Miami football. He's going to join us at 9:30, kind of fill us in on what's going on during now the residuals after that successful Paradise Camp. And I know UM fans are enjoying that. Yeah, great event. Coach Mario Perez will join us at 9:20, Monsignor Pace. I know he's itching to get going and start this 2019 season. But we open up our second hour with a good friend, somebody who is kind of a hybrid now. He's covering everything. FAU does a little this, that, basketball he loves as well. But and he was at the Paradise Camp the other night from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, David Ferronis. David, thanks so much for taking the time to kick things off. You're a busy guy, but it beats the alternative, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I guess I'm that hybrid defensive end, outside linebacker.
That's what I'm saying. You are that guy. And certainly you have your hands in a few things, FAU being one of them, where you do the games and cover them throughout the course of a year. Lane Kiffin, you know, we talked to Jake Elman a lot about him. And this is your, I guess, coming up on your second year of doing that, third year?
Yeah, second year.
What was it like covering Lane during that first year? You know, I mean, everybody says different things about him. He knows his football, no doubt.
Oh, he does. And what I would say from my perspective covering him, he was surprisingly mild-mannered because, you would watch throughout the years just the coverage of him. And, you know, maybe in the past he would say some things that might come off as off the rails, like when he was at Tennessee.
Right, right.
You know, the Rocky Top thing about being Florida.
Yeah.
But then I come to find out, you know, he's actually very mild-mannered. You know, he's almost soft-spoken in interviews. And, you know, kind of, he's almost going through a transformation, I might say, at least from what the perception was before.
Right, right.
That's the only thing I knew beforehand.
No, I understand. But, I mean, you take a look at the guy. I mean, he's been around. I mean, certainly Boca Raton's a lot different than Knoxville. And, you know, I mean, this is a more relaxing type of place, more of his style. You know, he seems to be relaxed up there. I know it's a year-to-year type of thing. How long do you think this play acts out up there? I mean, for a while, or just you never know, or what?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I guess at the beginning, then he thought that he would just use FAU as a stepping stone after, you know, he part ways with Alabama's offensive coordinator. He'll be a head coach here and then try to get to another Power 5 school and become head coach again, you know, somewhere else. But, you know, we're going through 2 years here now. And after the first year where they win 11 games and ran through Conference USA and won the Boca Raton Bowl, it was looking like, hey, you know, maybe he could be on a fast track.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, they went back down to 5-7 last year, quite a disappointment. But, yeah, I mean, I think if you look at his recruiting class, it kind of gives you the insight that, okay, now he is possibly thinking long-term because he had a more traditional freshman-loaded recruiting class, whereas before he was just trying to fill in gaps with key transfers. So,
sure.
So he might be more forward-thinking now.
But he is kind of that guy who's not afraid to take some guy who's had a little bit of a checkered past and bring him in. I mean, you know, he's done that pretty much throughout his career down here. He has a couple of controversial kids, obviously, but doesn't faze him. You know, he wants to win football games, and obviously those type of kids. Now you lose arguably one of the best running backs, because I got to put Alfred Morris in there too, of all time at FAU, and that's not going to be an easy fill-in. I know they have a couple of kids to step in. Their quarterback problem is never really a problem now that Robeson may be back. Is he back, the kid Robeson?
Yes, Chris Robeson was reinstated just a few days ago, so at the end of last week. So he's back in the mix. In the spring, they had two quarterbacks lead the quarterback competition, Nick Tronti and Justin Agner. So, you remember seeing Tronti.
Yeah, we're up against at Ponte Vedra.
Right.
Yeah.
In his high school days. Yeah,
wow.
He stood out there. So, you know, they led the quarterback competition in the spring. So now you throw Robinson back into the mix after he was suspended for the entire spring. So he had started 11 of the 12 games last year. He had originally won the starting competition over DeAndre Johnson and Rafe Peavy, the two guys that he was going up against to start after he had come over from Oklahoma. So now he's back into the mix for the fall and was reinstated, able to participate in team activities.
Yeah, not David Ferronis joining us, South Florida Sun Sentinel. And you know from covering high school for so many years, you get a lot of kids on that team now that taking on a South Florida look. A couple of Dave Broward kids into that mix, as well as, you know, the recruiting base is kind of strange. I always felt if you get one kid from Pahokee and one kid from Glade Central every year, you have eight of them at the end of the year and you got a pretty good following. Have they recruited better, you think? And Palm Beach County under Coach Kiffin?
Yeah, I mean, well, Palm Beach County, and then, extending throughout all of South Florida, because you even see Miami-Dade County, they got Diamante Howard, the Southridge prospect that, you know, he was committed to Miami for a while there.
Early on,
Ramad
and, Smith from Homestead, a kid that has a chance to be really special. So they reach out a lot. I mean, he uses a lot of his connections from different areas of the country, you know, to maybe pluck a kid here and there. But going in, do you think they're a better overall all-around team? Forget about who they lost, because they lost some key guys. But I'm talking from a depth standpoint, a key standpoint. I mean, because they, you know, FIU's getting stronger. And because I know a lot of people, especially after what you just said, after that 11-win season, a lot of people, he's going to walk through this pretty easily. And then reality set in. But and now you look at the job that Butch has done at FIU. Do you think that FAU has that kind of potential to be right back in the mix to get in the bowl again and win 8-9 games?
Yeah, it could, because I'll also say the 5-win season was obviously an underachievement. So, it's not necessarily that's the reality for them. It's probably somewhere in between what we saw over the first two seasons. So now we'll see. Do they have that depth? I think they're building toward it, because you had a big freshman class, big recruiting class this past recruiting cycle. So they're going to be coming in as freshmen. They just brought in 25 players, both between scholarship and walk-ons, just beginning for the second summer session that the school announced as additions to the football program today, getting on campus. And
wow.
Yeah, so
nothing like throwing it right on top of everybody's lap real quick.
Right. So building toward that, because then now you got to get these kids to develop, and then you'll eventually have that depth.
You also, as we switch gears, I know you, you're a passionate Miami guy, and I know that you feel at home in Coral Gables. What about Saturday night? You had to be impressed. I mean, you know, with the amount of athletes that Miami had on campus, as well as what the facility has kind of morphed into now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was actually my first time inside the Carroll Soffer Indoor Practice Facility. So
pretty neat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the University of Miami to finally have a facility like that, state of the art, and it was impressive, and an impressive showing from what Manny Diaz called the three generations. It's, you have the recruits there in the facility. You have the current players there helping them out, coaching them up. And then, you know, the legends, the former players. They have 25 of, you know, a star-studded alumni cast there. You know, so just think of, you know, what it's like for their quarterback commit, Tyler Van Dyke, who was putting on the show, by the
way.
Yes,
yes.
You're taking pointers from Gino Toretta, former Heisman Trophy winner. So.
And also the kid, Washington, I believe. Wasn't that the kid's name? The man-child? Was that his name?
I don't know if that's his name or his nickname, but might as well be. He was an absolute beast.
He was.
Mike was finding him very well. So
we were outside when we were outside. Jeremy Shockey, after he ran one of the, I think he just ran a quick out, and he goes, "Are you really in high school?" He says to him, "That, that kid was." I'm sure there's going to be a lot of birth certificates looking at down the line for that guy, because he's 6'7", 240 now. Holy mackerel!
I'm sure he's had that problem all throughout his years growing up. Every league in Pee Wee growing up. And
amazing.
High school, they got to be checking his birth certificate.
Good stuff. David, I appreciate you stopping in. How are people going to follow you? Give them a way to follow you on social media as well as up at the paper.
Absolutely, yeah. On Twitter, at David Furones, Furones, _. That's my Twitter handle, and then also just read up at sunsentinel.com.
Good stuff. Dave, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
That's it. Thank you.
Good job. David Furones, Sun Sentinel. When we come back, got a good show. Mario Perez and Andrew Ivins will fill us in on the Paradise Camp as well.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein along with our good guy, Danny GQ. And good music. Popping our way back in. Thanks so much to David Furones from the Sun Sentinel for stopping by, talking a little bit of FAU, and also talking some of the Paradise Camp. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. As we switch gears back into our high school mode, a lot going on during the summer. I mean, we see it, whether it's a camp or a combine or a 7-on-7, or now it's just going to get, especially with a lot of the colleges closing up for a few weeks in July, a lot of emphasis will be put on, you know, staying back home and doing your own thing with your own team, getting things ready. And one of our coaches, first-year head coach in Miami-Dade County with a lot of experience, but still getting to know a lot of his players and setting some groundwork for year one, is Mario Perez, a head coach at Monsignor Pace. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you, Larry. How are you this evening?
Doing good. No complaints. A lot going on. As you know, a lot of your kids are off at different events and different exposure showcases, trying to get them out there at the beginning. And that's a great thing. I mean, you came aboard and kind of set your wheels in motion, brought in a couple of new faces, but had some pretty good guys on hand at Monsignor Pace. I mean, after years at American Heritage and helping build winner after winner after winner, now you got your own deal, and we talked about it when you first got the job. Here you are a few months in now. How are things going this summer? Because obviously you know as well as I do, this is the most important part of the year.
It is a critical part of the year, and things are going great. And I have great support from Pace administration. My coaching staff is extremely supportive and hardworking. But I think most importantly, it's token to the kids. The kids are just amazing. Their commitment to get better and to buying into the program that we're trying to establish and provide for them. They're great, and I'm just astonished by their willingness to work and their desire to to get better as individuals.
And also the fact that, you know, they've had, I mean, they play in South Florida, so obviously they know they can't let their guard down for 1 second. They've got to work around the clock, you know, just to compete. You guys are in a very, you and I talked about it, you're in an extremely tough Class 4A with a lot of competition, which you've kind of been up against all your coaching career. You know, as you're looking at this year ahead, you have a really good mix of veteran kids with some young players. And it looks like a lot of your veterans, a couple of linemen, look like they're ready to take leadership. How important is that for at least for this year, for you to have that type of help while you're still learning game by game about some of your new players?
I've always told the kids that the most successful football teams I've ever been associated with are the ones where the players are the ones who take ownership. The players are the ones who set the standards, and the players are the ones who hold each other accountable. When it's the coach, it's always saying the same thing to the players. The message gets old, it gets stale,
sure,
and it gets a little bit difficult. The communication starts to break down. But when the players are the ones that hold each other accountable, it's when you know you have something special. And I think that's what's happening at Pace. You know, we have some very just astounding, you know, young men who are stepping up and holding each other accountable. And really, you know, what we're trying to teach them is life lessons. Hard work, and it pays off, and commitment. And a lot of these kids are now trying to, for the first time, they're learning that they're capable of accomplishing things that they didn't think they were capable of accomplishing before, which is really what it's all about. They're just trying to make a difference in their lives.
Yeah.
Leadership is critical, and especially when it comes with the kids, from the kids.
Mario Perez is the head coach at Monsignor Pace. Attended Sunset. back in the day, certainly, I mean, you've been coaching at youth football, coaching at high school, been around all of South Florida, and obviously that gives you an advantage, but you've seen a lot. I mean, and being at American Heritage and having an opportunity to play for several state titles and winning three in a row. Talk about that, because I think the structure in your mind is a lot the same. I mean, you're at a private school now, you're at a private school before, you have an opportunity in your present position to pretty much call all the shots, just like Manny Diaz, and I posed that question to him. He had a lot of ideas, just like you did. I mean, you've been, like I said, you've been around this game, you've been around the players. What are some of the things that you've implemented here that perhaps maybe you didn't have an opportunity to do somewhere else?
Well, I don't know if necessarily I didn't have the opportunity. I mean, I had an opportunity to
right.
work with some pretty incredible individuals that, in the past, you know, American Heritage, I worked with Mike Rump and Pat Surtain, and you know, collaboratively, we all built a successful program, and we've all learned from our mistakes and learned from some of the right things we did, and I've taken that and implemented that at Pace to the best of my ability. I mean, you know, every school has its own challenges. The resources aren't the same at the different locations and, you know, different issues that we deal with. But from what I've learned and the time that I've dealt with these individuals and at different schools, I've certainly taken the things that I think that we've done well and tried to implement them at Pace. And so far, I think they're paying dividends. They're working out, and I'm pleased with the progress that we've made.
You know, as you head towards the season, I mean, obviously this next month, important. These are the dog days. A lot of the kids, I mean, you separate your players now from the guys that are the pretenders and the contenders. Just judging from the kids that you have and looking at some of the players, who are we looking at as some of the players that you expect in the fall to be a mainstay of this program right off the bat and serve as that leadership role? And they don't have to be seniors. I mean, you have a couple of young kids that really lead by example already.
Yeah, we have some young, talented kids, you know, on both the offensive and defensive line. But one thing that I'm not a big proponent of is just trying to single out one player over another, because we're really trying to preach that this is a collaborative effort, it's a team effort.
True.
We certainly have individuals that stand out and take leadership roles, but it's all done for the good of the team. And I don't think I have enough time on your show.
No, you're right.
On the roster.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, talk to me a little bit about schedule. I know that the schedule is important. You're always, I mean, you've been used to a high-level schedule, playing big wigs all the time. What's the schedule look like for the fall?
I think we have a pretty challenging schedule. We start off with Jackson on the Kickoff Classic, and then we go four games on the road. We go American Heritage. Now, then we go to Clewiston, Naples, and Treasure Coast. We come back home with American. We have Champagnat. Let's see. We have, I forget the order, but it's Columbus, Glade Central, Southridge, North Miami, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody in there somewhere, but that's pretty much
six or seven playoff teams, which is not terrible.
Well, Larry, I think that's, you know, you get rewarded for playing a tough schedule the way the system is in 4A right now, especially with the point system. So it's we have to take advantage of the opportunities. And as you know, in 4A, we don't have district play, so we don't have built-in games. We have to go find 10 games for the schedule, which is difficult. So why not go play the best? It'll prepare you for the playoffs, and it also helps you with the point system.
Yeah, that's definite. So, I mean, is it six teams that get in the region, or eight? What is it? How's that work?
Yeah, it's six teams, with the first two teams getting byes, and then you play from, you know, you play there on out. But, you know, I think affectionately, the conference that we're in 4A, it's been dubbed the SEC of high school football this year. There are some phenomenal teams and coaching staffs. We will definitely have our hands full, but we're certainly looking forward to the challenge.
Good stuff. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time. Best of luck. You know, we'll see you a lot. And I have no doubts. It's going to be exciting, challenging, and we'll be watching.
And thank you, Larry, for everything you do.
Thank you, Coach. I'll tell you what, that's, you know, there's a lot of Pace people out there, and they've been waiting for, you know, Coach Josie, Joe Zach. He ran a hugely great ship for a lot of years, and comes a time where you just gotta keep that torch passed, and I think they selected a really good one in Mario. I think he's a hard worker, prideful guy, and knows his stuff. I know a lot of people were asking the other day, they go, you got to have Andrew Ivins on because we've got to find out what happened down at Paradise Camp. To show you how dedicated Andrew is, I walked up and he's all plugged in and he's using a desk, makeshift desk as from one of those carts. He's a hard worker. He's there all the time. He finds out a lot of good stuff. People trust him. And he's kind enough to join us this evening, Andrew. Thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy. You were on earlier with Alex and in the morning, but nevertheless, as I watched you this weekend, there was not a shortage of stories.
No, there wasn't. It was really a big, loaded camp. You know, with some commitments and alumni everywhere. It was a fun weekend. A good weekend for Miami.
Kind of a perfect storm, as I was saying earlier with Elijah Roberts, where we had him on earlier this evening. It was one of those days where nothing was really going on anywhere else. You know, I mean, it was a smart move, as you and I talked, by Manny and company, to get that thing earlier this year and not have to compete with Florida and Florida State, because you know there's a lot of kids who hang in the balance and they'd find some way to make an excuse for not coming, but didn't happen. I mean, you had top flight kids everywhere you looked. I know you were impressed with the quarterback play of a couple of kids. Talk about some of the things that you saw that maybe a lot of people didn't see.
Well, you know, I am interested to see if they decide to keep this camp here in June. And I think one of the reasons it was so – I mean, they had so much alumni out here, and they've said it in the past. You know, Coach Bonda, he's brought it up, I think, a few times on the radio that they're not competing – you know, there's no NFL camps going on, so there's no excuse for those guys
not to
come back down. Yeah, but, you know, you brought up the quarterback play, Tyler Van Dyke, the kid out of Connecticut, their four-star quarterback commit. I mean, I thought he was very good. That was my first time seeing him throw, and I know it's just a camp setting, but he's good. He's got a live arm. It's real easy to see why they kind of took him. I was impressed by him. Darnell Washington, the 6'8 tight end out of – out of Las Vegas. I mean, man, that guy's like, it's like LeBron. It's like everyone talks about if LeBron James played football, you know, what would he look like? And I think we got our answer on Saturday night. I mean, that guy caught everything.
Man, child.
Yeah, I mean, James Williams would try to go cover him. Avante Williams would try to cover him. Ladarius Tennyson would try to cover him, and no one could. So that was impressive. I mean, probably what we haven't talked a lot about, the offensive line. I think the offensive line group was pretty dang good, and I think Butch Berry's done a nice job of getting Miami in the mix with some real good offensive linemen. I mean, they got the kid committed, Jalen Rivers, out
yes.
of the Jacksonville area. He
Oakleaf.
Worked out. That was actually his third time he's been to Paradise Camp, and I thought he was good. I mean, he's probably going to be has a chance to do left or right tackle. Chris Washington, the kid out of Nashville, they took. I think the plan should be to take one or two of those kind of developmental tackles every cycle, and then you stash them on the roster. Don't ask them to play right away, and then bam, 2 or 3 years down the line, that guy's your starting tackle
yeah.
as a redshirt sophomore. So I was impressed with that, and you know, you also had Jonathan Dennis, the kid from South Dade there. I think they made a move with him. So those are probably some of the things that really stood out to me. On top of just everyone competing. I mean, in years past, there was a lot of guys standing on the sidelines, and of course there was some this past Saturday. But I thought I thought Manny did a good job of kind of bullying the kids into doing it, or you know, shaming them into doing
sure.
it. I guess I know there were some of the big dogs didn't dress, and I know the coaches made it aware that how they felt about that. But it was fun.
Yeah, no doubt. Andrew Ivins joining us, 247 Sports. And the one thing, too, and I know that Alex asked you this morning about that, about how some of those kids feel. I mean, outside of Michael Irvin, who they see a lot, you know, on NFL Network or whatever, there's a lot of the old, like Greg Mark, who was a sensational defensive end back in the day, and Geno, although Geno was a Heisman Trophy winner. Do these kids, is it just a respect factor? I mean, obviously none of them watched any of them play, but is it just one of those, you know, the OG's okay man, and you know, he set the tone type of thing? And I saw his big old cut up you know, outside, you know how they have upstairs in those offices, they have all the, you know, Frank Gore's and all the Michael Irvin's and stuff like that, and a lot of those kids see that, but they never really get to hear them, you know, kind of preach about the old days. Was that, you think that's the connection? Because they couldn't have any other connection other than probably just a mutual or a respect factor.
Yeah, and I think Manny had those older guys also talking with the parents there at the beginning of the camp. So I think that also plays a little bit of factor into it. I mean, maybe the parents can relate a little bit more. And well, one thing which I think a lot of people don't know is Miami does a good job of making sure all these alums park their nice cars right by the facility.
Yes.
So when everyone's walking by, they're like, oh, you know, like I yeah. go to Miami and I make the league, I can get a car like this. So I think that's a pretty unique touch that a lot of people don't really know about.
No, I understand. I remember when Ed Reed came there, he did that. I think Ed Reed actually came in an Uber or something.
Yeah,
but you're right for the most part, and having a guy like Jeremy Shockey, where maybe the kids don't remember, but you know, they maybe as kids, young kids, they do, but they see him out there, and they've seen his picture, and they, you know, seen video of him, and then here he is out there mixing him with the tight ends, and I think even Coach Fields was a little bit in awe of that, you know, to have him there. I mean, you know, you look in the history of the University of Miami, Jeremy was one of the best players they've had, so. And for him to come back there and talk to kids and tell them, hey, you know, great job. That's got to be a lot of for their confidence that a guy who has literally been there and done that is coming back and at least giving them some props. I mean, not Duke Johnson. I mean, everybody knows Duke. Duke's a very popular figure, all-time leading rusher at the school. That's got to be a thrill for a lot of those kids, too.
Yeah, it was cool. I think I saw Duke coaching up Don Chaney during one of the drills. And Manny said that at the beginning of the camp. He's like, you're not going to get this anywhere else in the country. I mean, other people can try to copy it, and I don't think anyone really has, but he's got a point. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to check out Friday Night Live or cover Florida State Saturday Night Live, but I did cover a few Irish invasions when I was in the Notre Dame beat. That's
yeah.
kind of their elite camp. And, you know, that was a cool environment, but I think Miami definitely set the bar. Just with the new IPF and all that, it was a home run, and hopefully they're hoping they're going to get some more commitments out of it. I mean, they've already got four. I think they'll probably get another one tomorrow from a local underclassman, and then there's some other big fish out there that I think that they might be making them in a good spot for.
And the kid Jacoby from Plantation, the 21 kid, who committed on Saturday night or early Sunday, so. That's always good. I mean, you're getting kids in advance, but that's not a certain because since Miami lost the two, well, now that Harris is reclassified, but they did lose Williams and Harris, and they were. Do you think either of them resurface or no?
They were both there on Saturday night, both James Williams and Donnell Harrison. I think Donnell is, from what I've heard, so I've been kind of skeptical on this. I think he's actually going to reclassify to 2020. I think that's actually going to happen. I mean, kids can say it, but it's not easy when there's some paperwork and classes that need to be done. And if he's going to be a 2020, I think that plays into Miami's hand. That's a good thing. I mean, Clemson already has their defensive line class. Alabama pretty much has their defensive line class. And now I think Donnell's a very talented prospect, but his stock isn't as high as it would be if he was a 2020 one as it is in 2020, just because he's not physically as developed. I mean, I think he's still, a top 247 player. I don't think he's the number four player in the class of 2020. So that might help Miami be able to kind of be like, hey, man, we've been on you from the start, and we have a spot for you, and we'll take you. So I think there's a chance there. With James Williams, who knows? I mean, that kid, I think he respects Miami. He seems to have a great relationship with Miami, but at the end of the day, he's been at three high schools for 3 years.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just kind of the norm down here in South Florida. So it's kind of hard to peg him this far out, be like, yeah, he's coming to Miami or anything like that. I mean, who knows? It could be Georgia, it could be Clemson, it could be Alabama. I don't know.
I hear you. Andrew, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you hooking up. You did great, and obviously you're on top of everything. We'll be hooking up with you another couple of weeks, see what else is going on. I know you always got things going. Thanks again.
I appreciate it, Blue. We'll talk to you, man.
Anytime. Andrew Ivins, 247 Sports. When we come back, we wrap it up for a Monday evening. Coach Steve Englehart from Florida Tech is next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back with you to close out a Monday evening. South Florida High School Sports.com. Larry Bluestein, Danny helping us out this evening and doing an awesome job. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game, visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Thanks so much to Mario Perez, the head coach at Monsignor Pace, and also to Andrew Ivins. For taking the time to join us this evening, kind of recapping Paradise Camp and some of the other good things going on. Coach Perez had told you that the 4A, Class 4A now is just, it's loaded. It's just a loaded up. A lot of great teams down here. Had an opportunity to pretty much watch them all. It's gonna be very interesting. And when you take a look back to switch gears real quick and have an opportunity to go, like the showcase this week and the Paradise Camp. I just thought that was a tremendous opportunity for a lot of kids who probably would not have gotten that spotlight before to get something. And that's important. I think when you take a look at it and understand how valuable the exposure is, you never know whose eyes are going to be on you. I mean, it's important. It's very important at every level. No matter what level, of football that you're at, exposure is extremely valuable no matter where you get it. I mean, you don't know. And we tell the kids all the time, you don't know who's going to see it. You just don't know. We were talking, I guess, 2 weeks ago where back in 1970, there were six colleges that played football in the state of Florida and two club programs. When 2020 starts, there will be 22 football programs in the state of Florida. And I'll tell you what, a lot of them, you look around the state, a lot of them are having success. And up in the Melbourne area, one of the programs that is utilizing not only an outstanding academic institution, but tremendous football coaching and players, and they go all over the place. I mean, they throughout the state of Florida, and have under Coach Steve Englehart have done an excellent job recruiting South Florida, and that is a program that has done extremely well and continues, as I said, to produce talent and to field more than competitive football programs. And Coach Englehart is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Lucy, how you doing, man? I'm good.
Doing great. Good. You guys having a very productive summer. That's the one thing that I've noticed in your off seasons. There's no rest. You attack it. You get as many programs on campus as possible from all over, and the reviews are glowing. Doral Academy talking positively. Talk about that. I mean, because I know what goes on during the months that you coach your players, but to try to attract new players, you've got to work this thing during the summer.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and recruiting is a year-round thing. I'm lucky to have great assistants that love to recruit, and the camp part of things is just one of those ways, we've had several different prospect camps. We had a great 7-on-7 tournament this weekend. Had 16 teams from everywhere, from Tampa to Miami and Orlando and Jacksonville. So we had a good number of teams here. It wasn't a huge thing, but obviously 16 teams and getting those in one day, and every team got a minimum of 4 games, and Doral Academy ended up winning the thing, and boy, they have some players, and they have some really, really good young players. That young quarterback that they have, and a veteran quarterback as well, but they have some really, really good players, and we got to see some good talent on campus, and that's the most important thing really for us. We used to do a lot of the satellite camps where we would go around and go to different places, and that's obviously good because we're going to them, but I think we've built up our name enough to where people want to come to our campus, and including the 7-on-7 tournament this past weekend, we've probably had, close to 700-800 kids on our campus this summer. So, it's been a good summer, been productive, seeing a lot of great kids, and excited to see how that goes in the fall. But, I always tell those players, these camps and prospect camps and all those things, that's just one small way to be noticed and be seen. You got to obviously do it with your high school football teams, and don't continue just to chase all the prospect camps. You guys got to work hard in the summer with your high school football teams and put together a great high school program and win as many games as you can, and if you're doing it that way and doing it academically and doing it in the community, then you'll get seen by someone.
Coach, you take a look at this program and it's grown up pretty quick. You take a look at the players. I mean, I remember the first couple of years you guys got going. I mean, like you said, you have to carve out a niche. You have to be in your own lane, but at the same time, look over in the other lane, see if you could explore that. You've recruited extremely well throughout the entire state. I mean, you look down here in South Florida, you have more than a handful of kids that are on the roster. The Central Florida area, certainly, to get more of the attendance you want to build around the Space Coast area, up around the East Coast, up towards Jacksonville. Talk about that, because I think that recruiting is while it's not an exact science, there's parts of it when you really think it out, especially from your standpoint where you're trying to build a base up. It becomes a little more clear every year as you see where your players are coming from, where the support's coming from.
Well, that's, there's no doubt that the state of Florida, and we've got to try to get everywhere we can in the state of Florida. But,
sure.
But I've always said that I think that I've been doing this for, close to 20 years, college coaching, and I always I've always thought that, you know, if you're looking at the percentages, the percentage tells us that, you know, kids have the best experience and they're less likely to leave school, and that they're better off academically because they have the support. But, you know, if you just draw a radius of 3 hours, and I don't care where you're recruiting at, you know, obviously the top 5% of the you know, the best schools in the country, they'll go nationwide, but for the most part, it's going to be regional. And if you could draw a 3 hour radius around your school, and if you think that's good enough recruiting to win football games, then that's where you're going to get the kids that they're close enough to home where they can get back if they need to. The stress level is down a little bit, you know, for a young man like that doesn't have to go so far away from home. And so for us, we're lucky because you look at where we're located in Melbourne, Florida, sitting right on the coast, right on I-95, and we are to Jacksonville in 3 hours, and we're to Miami in 3 hours, and everywhere in between. And then we're to Orlando in an hour, and we're to Tampa in 3 hours. Right. So, you know, if you look at the I-4 corridor and then travel 95 from Jacksonville to Miami, we are right in the middle of it. And so we have a great benefit that's where some of the best talent in the country comes from. Yeah. And we're able to get that talent.
Coach Steve Englehart joining us. Florida Tech, as he said, Melbourne is a program that is this 7 years? How long have they?
Yes, we just finished our sixth season, so okay. We're going on our seventh season. Yep, you're right.
7 years, coming up on 7 years, and you look back at the progress. And you know, I was looking back at some of your early programs and the rosters and where you are now. I mean, this is the talent level has come up quite a bit because of the competition. And I think that you guys have a schedule that is challenging and one that is appealing. But something that Coach, we had Coach Josh Heupel on in the first hour, and he alluded to it. The success definitely comes from your assistant coaches. And you look at the assistants that you brought in, Coach Martin, coaches that have been with you and know the landscape. Talk about that, because I don't think people realize how important it is to have a staff that you could totally depend on.
Well, you know, there's always going to be some staff turnover from year to year, and you obviously have to get guys that you trust and guys that believe in what you want to do. And I've been lucky enough to have guys that have been with me for some time, and obviously we've had some turnover, but you know, Coach Martin has been with me since day one.
Yeah.
And you know, and he recruits South Florida, you know, and he knows all those coaches, and he has a great relationship with them. And if you're talking about, you know, Broward County, for sure, he knows them all, and he knows Dade County as well. And and then Coach Raymond, my offensive line coach, who's been with me also since day one.
Yep.
You know, he knows the whole Tampa area and Hillsborough County really well, and he's jumped around to a lot of different things, you know, different areas. But your staff is so important to you. You gotta rely on them, and you have to trust them. And I've been lucky to have some great coaches. And you know, unfortunately, I've lost some coaches, but it's been because they've gotten better opportunities
for
jobs, and they've been able to move on and advance their careers. And couldn't be, you know, happier for those types of situations that happen. And I never begrudge anyone for that, and encourage them, you know, if we can help them move on, and that's a great thing. But you know, we have a great thing here at Florida Tech. It's a great place to coach. It's a great place to live here in Melbourne, Florida. And I think ultimately, when my assistants are here, that they enjoy being here and they don't want to leave.
Yeah, no, I can understand it. Like you said, year-round weather, it's a great opportunity, Coach. Again, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. We'll catch up with you. Best of luck this summer, and go get them in 2019.
Great. Thanks a lot for
having me. All right. Anytime. What a great show. We ended up with Coach Steve Englehart from Florida Tech. We started it out way a long time ago with Elijah Roberts. Again, Danny GQ, thanks so much.
Thank you,
coming back with you on next Monday. bigger, better shows all the time. SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. We'll have the podcast up of tonight's entire 8 guests. Don't miss it. We'll see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.